Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on December 20th.
That's right.
2018,
wow.
Coming to the, you know, the end of a new year.
That's right.
I mean, the end of an old year.
2018.
I know.
That's insane. It's like Buck Rogers. Look at the future.
And today, Andrew, today on the news, the most traveled day on the highways and roads of Los Angeles.
Wow. Well, I'm glad we're safe inside.
Yeah, exactly. Not going
everybody
anywhere
be careful
today.
Out there driving. Hey, we got lots of cool stuff to talk about.
Yes, we do.
And as you said, December 20th, and there is so much going on as the year comes to a close.
Indeed, there is, Andrew. And with that in mind, we are joined on the phone today by two guests, the one and only Eric Bergen and Juan Pablo de Pace, who will be talking with us about some of the exciting theater surrounding us this holiday season, their roles on television, and everything else that they are doing.
That's right,
Michael. Recording records.
And, of course, on the phone with us now, our first guest is a native New Yorker who has appeared on both stage and screen to great critical acclaim. As a singer and songwriter, he has also released two albums and frequently performs with concerts internationally.
That's right. He played the role of the hit songwriter Bob Gaudio in Clint Eastwood's feature film Jersey Boys, reprising his award-winning performance from the national tour and Las Vegas companies of the stage musical. His other notable stage credits include the Tony Award-winning revival of Anything Goes.
That's right. On the big screen, he has also starred in the feature film Humor Me. On TV, he guest appearances include roles in Person of Interest, Children's Hospital, Franklin and Bash, Desperate Housewives, and Gossip Girl. He is perhaps best known, though, for his role as Blake Moran in the CBS hit drama Madam Secretary.
I love that show.
It's a great
I
show.
Watch it
great.
All the time.
He's great on it.
Yes, he is. He joins us, ladies and gentlemen, now on the telephone to talk to us about his first return to the Los Angeles concert stage in 3 years with his show An Early New Year's Celebration at Catalina Bar and Grill in Hollywood for two performances only on December 28th and December 29th. Please give a warm welcome to Eric Bergen.
Wow.
Do you guys want my social security number as well? You just listed everything that I've ever done.
You be careful. I could probably find it online with as much information as there is on you, my friend. You have never stopped working in your entire life, have you?
Actually, Eric, I have it with me now, today.
We'll be giving that out as an Instagram prize. Eric, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to join us today.
Thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me back. And your studio audience has grown, it appears.
Yes, you know, they have.
Every
they
year
have.
We try to add a few extra claps in there.
A few extra buses roll in.
Eric, this is a cool project because everybody knows you from film and television. I loved your performance in Jersey Boys with our good friend John Lloyd Young and so many great people there who have done great, great stuff with that film. But most importantly, you're bringing cabaret, a great little song and dance kind of routine, to the Catalina Jazz Club, which we love, have great food and good venue. But that's got to be a great chance to get upfront and intimate with you as a performer where people don't usually get to do that. Do you love performing live?
Yes, especially because it's very intimate. I do it nude.
We'll be there.
Our audience has just skyrocketed, Eric, all over.
Our numbers just went up.
I'm always kind of weird about the term cabaret. I always feel that, you know, there should be someone in a gown with too much shoulder pad singing.
I'm sorry, is that not what you had planned?
No, I do that, but I also other things.
How
so
generous.
You know, that word is so odd to me, and to me, what I do is just a concert of my music. You know, because I'm a native New Yorker, my influences are all over the map. There is obviously the Broadway influence, and grew up with it in my backyard. But I also grew up, my first love, way before I even knew what the theater was MTV.
Wow.
And I wanted to be Michael Jackson and George Michael. So all of those things kind of influenced me. I am not the person who stands there and sings, soliloquy from Carousel. I don't do material from, the great Broadway standards. That is not my world. My influence as a performer run the gamut, but it's certainly much more in the pop world. I'm like the middle-aged Jewish Shawn Mendes.
I'm going to hashtag that immediately. So,
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
The concert is filled with, you know, everything from like I said, Michael Jackson, George Michael, Barry Manilow, and of course we do songs from Jersey Boys. I'll be doing songs from Waitress, which I did this summer on Broadway. So it
congratulations
kind of
on that,
the
by
map.
The way.
Yeah, no doubt.
Congratulations on
it. It only took
Catherine.
22 years from my first Broadway audition to my making my debut.
How time flies, right? Oh my goodness.
Yes, well, yes.
And it must have been lovely working with Catherine McPhee.
It was such a thrill. You know, what I always thought about doing the show with her was that's her voice is not altered for a record. That voice that you heard on all those recordings, it's kind of bizarre to hear it in person, how perfect she sounds. And then when she's right next to you and in your face singing it, it's even weirder. It's like, do you have a flaw? Does that exist in your voice anywhere? She's so spectacular and so sweet and kind, and I had the greatest time working with her.
And her mom, Pisha, is one of our favorites and a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And now, Catherine, of course, married David Foster, so she is Mrs. David Foster. To you, sir, right?
Yeah.
And to me.
I don't think that's happened quite yet.
Oh, it hasn't.
Or if it is, I don't think so. Otherwise, I wasn't invited to the wedding.
Oh. Oh
my we have goodness. A bone to pick. We may have started something here on State
of the
Arts today.
I apologize if I jumped the gun on that. That's what somebody told me very recently, and I was very happy for.
Name of the show that we're talking about here today is Eric Bergen, an early New Year's celebration. It's at the Catalina Bar and Grill in Hollywood. It's Friday, December 28th, and Saturday, December 29th only. That's at 8:30 p.m. Now, just so people know how to go get tickets, they can, of course, jump onto the Catalina Bar and Grills, Catalina Jazz Club Bar and Grills website, and you can obviously get tickets that way. Is there any other way they can get tickets?
Yeah, ticketweb.com. Ticketweb.com, if you just type in my name, that's the way to do it. Or if you just go on my Instagram, all the information is there,
awesome.
Facebook and all that. Just look me up. I just spell my name weird. There's an H at the end of Eric.
So it's E-R-I-C-H, Bergen, B-E-R-G-E-N, and that's your handle on Instagram?
Yep.
And, of course, you can always go to Chris Isaacson's Presents as well, his website as well.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Not the first time that you've worked with Chris, certainly. And, Eric, I must say...
No, it's great.
I must say, seeing you in person is... And I don't mean to be stroking you here. I mean, seeing you in person is something that everybody should do who loves the performing arts, because your act is always so unique. It's as unique as you are as a person. And you've been on this program many times, and we love you for that. So I just...
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I can't wait to see it at this coming week, and I will be there. And Andrew, I hope you'll be able to take some time to be there as well.
Thank you. I'd love to. In fact, I'm going to be in Georgia that night. But it was interesting learning about Eric last night, because as I kind of went back and studied a lot of what you came up with, Eric, and how you kind of made your pathway into the entertainment industry, it seemed like you brought so much of your personality with you to each thing you did. Certainly Jersey Boys and Madam Secretary are a huge part of you. What do you like about Broadway that kind of is something different or something unusual that you can deliver there? And was that something that when you were in film and television you always wanted to get back to, was live stage and theater?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, I love, obviously my first love is theater. It's how I started. It's where I started. That was always the dream. The whole TV and film thing kind of happened, by accident. It was really always theater from the beginning. The funny part was, it was the joke that I referenced earlier, that it took me 22 years, my first Broadway audition. People always thought that I had done Broadway. Even my closest friends, when I said I'm making my Broadway debut this summer, they said, No, you've been on Broadway. And I said, no, I haven't. Jersey Boys I did on the road in Las Vegas, and I did all these big Broadway shows, but elsewhere. So it was really going back this summer to do it was not just a return to the theater in general that I was so ecstatic about doing, but it was the top item on the bucket list was doing a Broadway show, and to do such a big hit show and such a funny, sweet show where the audience response was so vibrant and so alive. I mean, I never wanted it to end. I'll tell you, for a month there, it was during my hiatus, but the rest of my time, the final month of my run in Waitress, I was doing at the same time as beginning to film season 5 of Madam Secretary.
Wow.
So I would work all day, starting from, you know, 5-6 in the morning, and then do the show at night. And I was so excited to do the show. I never felt tired. I forgot to feel tired.
That's
I was
awesome.
Just so excited to get back to it. But yeah, and my first love will always be theater. But you know, there's amazing things that we can do in TV and film that we can't do in a theater, like be paid well. So there's also that.
Yeah. And speaking of, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to grab a ticket to go see this amazing performer again, you can go to Catalina Bar and Grill's website, or you could always go ahead and jump on to ticketweb.com. Just type in Eric Bergen. That's Eric with an H. And Chris Isaacson presents as well. One thing, Eric, before we let you go here, actually maybe two quick things before we let you go. We want to grab an embarrassing moment from him too, if we can. Don't we?
We do.
Michael?
We do.
They're
indeed.
Good.
But you know what? I'd love to treat our listeners to one of his tunes. He has recently released two singles. Am I correct, Eric?
Yes, that is. Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Preceded by your second album, right?
Yeah, well, this is my. I put out two new singles this fall, and it was my first new original music in about 5 years.
Wow.
So we have one called Running Through the Night, I believe is the title. Is that
yes.
right? Andrew, can you cue that up?
We're going to go ahead and play that now. This is Eric Bergen, Running Through the Night.
I'm getting used to seeing my father's face in the mirror. And all my lovers, past and present, agendas are clearer. And I don't know, but it seems like I should have a bit more money by this stage. And every day I can't believe I've made it to this age.
That's just
track.
A taste
yeah.
of what he is capable of doing as a recording artist, ladies and gentlemen, and everything else he does.
Eric, are you singing that in the show when you're on stage at Catalina?
I am. I just did a concert in New York a few months ago, and that was the live premiere of that song, and the response to that song has been kind of unbelievable for me as an independent artist, the fact that it got around the world as much as it did. And I remember when I did that concert in New York a few months ago, seeing people about a month after the song came out, less than a month, it was about 3.5 weeks after the song came out, to see people in the audience that were not my parents singing along to the song and mouthing the words was quite a very cool thing.
Well, now, Eric, there's a video for that song as well. If people Google it, they can probably find it, yeah?
Yeah, if you just type it into Google or YouTube, Eric Bergen Running Through the Night, it's there. Very, very proud of that video.
I had a buddy send that to me, actually. He loved it, and this is long before we'd ever booked you on the show. He sent it to me and just said, hey, this is a great bit by Eric. So it's certainly making its way around.
Oh, nice.
And certainly worth people checking out. Again, if you want to Google that, it's Running Through the Night. And it's by Eric
yeah.
Bergen. That's E-R-I-C-H-B-E-R-G-E-N. Eric, what do you want people to leave the show at Catalina Bar and Grill feeling? What is the thing you want them to take away with them?
Well, it was, you know, it's, I think it's so easy these days to stay at home and sit on your couch and watch Netflix. And why shouldn't you? Because, all four previous seasons of Madam Secretary are on Netflix. But, aside from that, I think it's so easy to stay at home. And I am a big proponent of going out and, experiencing live music, and your listeners don't need any push to do that. They if you're listening to this show, they're certainly lovers of the live performing arts. But I just feel that life is very short, and the reason why what kind of led me to writing Running Through the Night was kind of my experience post I was diagnosed with cancer 5 years ago and did that whole treatment and let me tell you, that was good times. And that whole experience led to writing Running Through the Night, and it led to, kind of leads to everything I do now, and that, well, you only live once, and sometimes these little reminders that life is short. And I try to make my concerts really a party. They are not meant to be taken all that seriously. Mm-hmm. They are truly meant to be fun and a night of experiencing music that I love. It's the people that have continued to support me all of these years. We have a mutual understanding of each other and the music that we love, and it's just a fun night out. A lot of the music you'll know and love, and some you'll hate, but you have to sit through all of it. You can't just leave in the middle.
Well, you know, Eric, your attitude about having cancer, which was testicular cancer, as I recall, is amazing. And, you know, I know, and I'm so proud of you for taking that road, the higher road with this, and accepting what it's really all about. My client of 25 years, Scott Hamilton, of course, went through that same thing. And Scott always, with anything that happens to him, which because he went on to have a tumor in his pituitary gland, and that not only grew back twice, but he's had to deal with that. But he always, his reaction to the circumstances when he learns about them is, well, that's what it is for today, so I'm just going to have to work with it.
That's right.
You know, and he gets through it.
Right.
And by that attitude, you and he and people such as yourselves that have come forward and actually shared that personal thing that you've gone through, is you become role models for other people. And that's so very important. We need more role models such as yourself and Scott. And so congratulations on that, because I think it just makes you a better person, and you've always been a very good person to begin with. So
that's right.
That's what I have to say about
that. The name
of
the man is Eric Bergen, and you can check him out live coming up soon at the Catalina Bar and Grill. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today.
We're going to get an embarrassing moment out of you, Eric.
Guys.
Do you think we can get a quick embarrassing moment from you? Something that happened on stage or on set that you thought you might not be able to recover from, but as we always tell our young performers on the show must go on, and you recovered from it and went on to the great heights that you've reached now?
Well, do you have another hour? my career has been made up of, yes, there have been many an accident on stage. Two of my biggest accidents have been in LA at the Amundsen Theater, where I had an injury on stage twice, two separate shows, years apart, that both had to stop the show and get me out in an ambulance. I'm fine. I think that's not so much embarrassing. I think the embarrassing thing is, I guess on set on Madam Secretary, I'm known to like more than a few takes of something. I often feel that I didn't get I didn't get it right, and I'd like to do it again. I was unaware that I was thought of that way, but what they've labeled any when they're shooting a scene, if they get to 10 takes, they call it a Bergen, even if I'm not in the scene.
How dare they?
That's great.
And this was dubbed by Eric Stoltz, our producing director, who has dubbed 10 takes the Bergen. Then there's of course the half Bergen and the double Bergen. It's lovely to know that I am thought of even when I'm not, even the days I'm not working.
Well, you can walk right up to him after the day and say, hey, I nailed State of the Arts in one take, so got it.
There you go.
You tell that to Mr. Stoltz.
Eric, thanks for joining us today. Let's give him a round of applause.
Absolutely.
Come back and see us soon, will you?
Happy holidays, Eric.
Great.
Have a good one, guys.
Good to talk to him. Man, and obviously he's got so much going on, so many so many projects.
Cool guy.
But, I mean, what a performer. I mean, yeah. just the clips online yeah. of him, and certainly that video, Running Through the Night. If you get a chance to check it out, you'll love it. And don't miss your chance, as we say. Get up, get off the couch, as he echoed as well. Put that phone down. Go out and see live and performing arts, because you will be better for it. Easiest way to get tickets is www.ticketweb.com, and just type in Eric Bergen. That's Eric with a C-H.
It is. Now, let's talk about you and I. We haven't seen each other for a week.
Yes.
And what's been going on?
It's been a busy week.
Yeah?
You've had a busy week,
I've
too,
had a busy week, yeah.
It just feels like this time of year, we're rushing around and there's all kind of stuff. I'm working on fight choreography for a project and lots of other stuff like that. But to be honest, most of it was just kind of getting the year-end stuff wrapped up.
Right.
I got a bunch of calls from my dentist office this week.
Oh, you did?
Because apparently
left your teeth there.
Yes, I'm not feeling just fine. You know, it's interesting because at the end of the year, they have cancellations occasionally, and they know everybody wants to get it in under the insurance, their final year cleaning.
Yes.
So I was desperately trying to make that happen. I had to push it to January, unfortunately, because things got so busy. But end of the year stuff, man, just yeah. everything. And we're still kind of getting back in from the fires. We
That's
did our
right.
final cleaning and all the ash. And I mean, the amount of ash that came out of the air filters on our place
yeah.
was just absurd. So you realize that this holiday season, there's a lot of people hurting, and I wanted to pass this story along real quick. A couple of good stories. One thing real quick is a friend of mine called me up, and he said, hey, I know you guys are okay, which we were. Our house is still standing, but can you get us the name of somebody from Malibu who lost everything? Mm-hmm. And we want to sponsor their Christmas. This is just a friend of mine from Orange
wow.
County. I thought that was really cool, and so I went to my kid's school and talked to a few people and got a couple names and made sure it was okay with them, of course, and then passed those on to my friend, and they're gonna try to take care of their entire Christmas, which that was really heartwarming. It reminded me how many good people there are out there. The other thing is our good friend and a dear, dear listener, Marie, who's so, so wonderful,
yes.
had her solo performance at her church
yes,
this week.
Yes, she did.
Now, I know she was nervous about the audition,
yep.
but I saw the video. She nailed it, and she did just great.
You
so
saw, the
I
video.
Did. I saw the video.
I have not seen it. I was hoping I could catch that performance live, but as it turned out, I couldn't because I've got two very sick puppies.
Oh, yeah, of course, of yeah. course. But that is what the idea of the performing arts is, right? Get out there and perform, see another performance, keep people communicating on stage
right.
and off, and that's a real good thing. Now, I know that you do have a couple sick puppies. What else is going on, Michael?
You know what? Just really taking this opportunity in advance of the next edition of LA's Next Great Stage Star to get all of that set with the theater. We've got that set, and our contracts with Princess Cruises, who are presenting mm-hmm. us one more time. So this will be their fourth year, and as you said, and trying to just deal with Christmas in general. But I know that we have another guest coming up very shortly.
Before we do that, though, we should take a minute and thank our amazing sponsor.
Let's do that. Let's run through that quickly.
Speaking of Princess Cruises.
Yes. We'd like to thank Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018.
Let's go ahead and say hi.
Oh, hello there, sir, Mr. Juan Pablo.
Hello, how are you?
I am
doing
fine.
Good. Did you like, that was Michael's sexy voice answer, I think. Hello, Mr. Juan Pablo.
Well, it was, you know what?
Hello.
We had just started
a sponsor.
It was
unintentional.
Hey, you can't help but be sexy, man. That's just part of it. So you're live now with us, Juan. Thank you so much for calling in, man. We were getting started
wow.
on our sponsor reads.
I'm live already. Jeez.
Yes, you
are.
We don't waste time here on State of the Arts. We jump right in. So we
amazing,
wanted to take a moment
amazing,
and introduce
amazing.
You. Is it okay if we tell people a little bit about you here coming up?
Go ahead.
All
absolutely.
Right. Cool. Well, thank you here, and we're going to let you listen to all the wonderful things we've written about you, because I got to tell you, I sat down to research you last night, and I found some amazing things. So, ladies and gentlemen, joining us now via phone, our next guest is a multilingual and multi-talented sensation, a native of Argentina. He moved to Spain when he was 12 and studied theater in Italy and spent another 10 years in London studying and performing.
Prior to joining the big screen, he appeared in the London musical Chicago. He also played the role of Danny Zuko in the Trieste? How do I say that?
Trieste.
Thank
it's Italian,
you.
Huh?
Hey,
yes.
I'm molto bene.
Okay. Thank you. Production of
Trieste
production of Grease in Italy. For 2 years, he was Tony Manero in the critically acclaimed Spanish production of Saturday Night Fever in Madrid.
Some of his many appearances on British television include Catherine Tate Show, After Sun, New Tricks, and River City. Other films include Survival Island and Mamma Mia.
Upon moving to Spain, some TV series roles included Super Charlie, Angelo DiManio, Los Hombres de Paco, 90-60-90, and El Don de Alba, among others. In 2004, he starred in the video for the Eryx Prydz hit called Call Me, and also directed and starred in the sequel What a Feeling in 2008. He directed a music video for Kate Melua, in which he appears opposite his sister, Maria Victoria de Pace.
In 2013, he was cast as a series regular, Nicholas Trevino, on TNT's Dallas. He also appears in the role of Fernando in Netflix series Fuller House. In 2018, he was announced as one of the celebrities to compete on season 27 of Dancing with the Stars, paired with professional dancer Cheryl Burke, spectacularly delivering perfect score performances for their samba and jive.
We are so happy to have him with us today, ladies and gentlemen, on the telephone. He was originally going to be here in studio, but had a slight conflict, so we... conflict.
My lips, end of the year, brother. We used all our consonants earlier, man. I tell you.
We're happy to have him any way we can get him. Juan Pablo de Pace.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had an introduction that long and that thorough. This is like, you guys know even like what my doctor appointment's going to be like.
We do. We're showing up your house here in a minute. We're going to mow your lawn for you.
We do know that information. We just didn't want to give it away.
I got to tell you, I had to cut stuff out too. Now, I was not familiar with a lot of the shows that you've done, certainly the overseas things.
Yeah.
And I started to think of all these artistic questions that I wanted to ask you, and then I threw them out the window. Mm-hmm. Because the thing I want to know is, how many languages do you speak, sir?
Three. Italian, Spanish, English.
And have you performed on stage in three separate languages?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, I know how I very often can't get English right, and I've been doing it for about 40 years. To perform consistently under three different languages, that's really remarkable, and something that I think is part of the global communication we all need to do more of, yeah?
Mm. Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I was very lucky to get a scholarship to go to an Italian boarding school where we spoke English, so we were forced to speak English to the subject, but then because you're in Italy, you had to speak Italian,
of course.
Also, so and then Spanish is my first language. So wow. Yeah. I mean,
fantastic.
And it also you use a part of your brain when you learn language that's very useful for acting. It's very useful for, you know, it's just a different side of the brain, very logical. So yeah, I'm grateful that I started languages early on. Like, I think I learned English when I was about 8.
Wow.
And Italian was about when I was 11 or 12. So that's
amazing.
Good. It's good. I mean, I don't know any other way. But yeah, English is the most useful. So, you know, if I only knew English, it would be enough.
Yeah. Well, you speak it very well. And what you're going to be
Thank
speaking
you.
It on stage in a very wonderful year-end holiday
no
production by the Lithgow family,
yeah.
A panto production.
I know.
Tell us about that. It's going to be at the Pasadena Auditorium coming up.
Yeah,
oh, you're in production. You're in performances now, right?
We're in production right now. I mean, we've already opened last week. We had an amazing, amazing premiere, and it's called The Wonderful Winter of Oz, and it's basically a take on The Wizard of Oz, but it's a panto. Pantos are plays, and plays that are basically the classic stories like Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, you know, kids stories, but with an interactive element, so the kids can shout at the witch, and they can tell you where the bad guy's hiding, and they can boo, and they can awe. And it's a British tradition. In Britain, you get these pantos every single year. They're super popular. And they're basically the first contact that kids have with theater. So, and also, they feature contemporary songs. So even though we are doing a classic tale, we are using songs by Imagine Dragons and Toto and Journey. And they're worked as a musical in the story.
And you are
so,
the cowardly...
it's very fun.
You are the cowardly lion in this production, right?
I am. Yes, I am. I am. Much fun.
Are you
so
really? Well, I mean, you know, you don't look like in person you would be that character, but so I'm very interested in seeing you do that character.
Well, it's, you know, I kind of do a send-off of my character in Fuller House, Fernando. You know, Fernando has a very, very strong
right.
Argentinian accent, and he's very histrionic and very dramatic. So my lion is pretty much an Argentinian lion. And and he's like he's ridiculous because on one side he's super cowardly and he's scared of everything, but then he's got this alter ego when he sings that he's like a rock star. So he's kind of bipolar. He's a bipolar lion.
Oh, good. We need one of those.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Juan Pablo, we know that you're a wonderful singer, and we have pulled a recording that you did live at Studio. At 54 Below,
54.
At Fine Sites there. And we want to share that with our audience. Andrew, can we pull that up?
Yeah, I believe we can. Now, this is ABBA, is that correct?
This is from, yes, it's an ABBA song from Mamma Mia.
And it's called?
The Winner Takes It All.
Here we go.
I don't want to talk about things we've gone through. Oh, it's hurting me. Now it's history. I played all my cards, and that's what you've done too. Nothing more to say, no more ace to play. The winner takes it all, the loser standing small. Besides the victory, that's his destiny. I was in your arms, thinking I belonged there. I figured it made sense, building me a fence. Building me a home, thinking I'd be strong there. But I was a fool, playing by the rules. The gods may throw the dice, their minds as cold as ice. And someone way down here loses someone dear. The winner takes it all, the loser has to fall. It's simple and it's plain, why should I complain? So tell me, does he kiss like I used to kiss you?
Wow.
Wow.
And that's not...
Yeah. Yeah.
I desperately want that to be me singing. Is there any way people will believe that if I just walk around and say that was my recording?
And I am Juan Pablo. You'd have to say you were Juan Pablo.
I also want them to think I speak three languages, but I don't think they're going to believe that either. That's right. Juan Pablo, what an amazing, amazing voice you have. But more than that, I've seen Fuller House, and I've enjoyed your sense of comedy as well, the fun that you bring to that. But the fact that this is a panto is a lot of fun. I took my kids last year to see this one when they did Beauty and the Beast. And my children are theater children. They've been raised to shut up and enjoy the show, right? And so when they're in this atmosphere to be told it's okay to boo Gaston was a shock for them, and it was like eye-opening that they could go back and forth, and you almost felt as if you were thrown back into England in the 1400s with the throngs of people at the Rose Theater or at the Shakespeare Globe just talking back to the performers, because there was such a visceral feeling of excitement in the audience among those children. Do you get that every night?
Yes, it's very special. It's a very special feeling. And people are having the time of their lives because, as you say, it feels like you are at the Globe.
That's right.
And they're so invested that they can participate, and it's okay to participate. Like, I'm the worst sort of audience member at the cinema or at the theater. I'm one of those guys who will shush you if you're literally unwrapping candy.
My kids would have understood that. So.
You know, I'm so respectful of performers, and because I know that it takes a lot of concentration and focus when you're on stage. But this is different. This is we welcome, you know, the cheers and the boos and the participation, because it is very silly fun, And, you know, like a five-year-old gets so... I mean, the other day, it was hilarious. One of my friends brought their kid, and he's two, I think, or three. And so I met him backstage afterwards, and I still had the makeup, the lion makeup. Wow. And he was just looking at me almost disappointed, because then he said to his father, but I thought he was a real lion. Oh. I didn't know it was a person.
Wow.
And I just love that so much.
That's great.
So it's a great way to get kids, you know, really, really participating in theater. I mean, theater is something that, especially in L.A., it doesn't seem like it's part of the fabric of the culture. I mean, New York, of course, in London, of course. But in L.A., you know, it's almost like it's starved of mm-hmm. theater. And it's a great way to get children, you know, to fall in love with.
Well, particularly if you've been holding off on taking your 5 or 6-year-old to the Pantages or the Amundsen because of the because of the atmosphere, because you know it's an atmosphere where the kids aren't necessarily supposed to speak out. If that child hasn't right. quite learned that yet, this is a great chance to take them to the theater and say, normally we're quiet, but on this one you can speak out a little bit and let them have that little buffer of behavior where if they go a little bit wild, a little bit excited, and maybe kick the seat in front of them at once or twice, you know, you go, that's okay. You can be yourself here. You can just learn theater behavior and still be respectful to show and still speak your mind. And I saw kids just light right. up. They had such a good time last year at the Panto.
Juan, do you have a preference between performing live on stage versus television or motion pictures?
Yes and no. I mean, I started in theater. My first show ever was, well, as you told, it was Grease. But then my first kind of professional where I got actually paid was Chicago on stage and London. There's nothing like it. And I love mm-hmm. performing live. On Fuller House, we actually have a live audience. So we get to put on a play, like a 30-minute play for a 200-plus audience every single week.
Sure.
So I love it. I'm a sucker for live. But... of course, there's beauty in every single genre. That's why I'm so grateful to have a career where I can jump from stage to screen to music seamlessly, because I do enjoy all the elements. I mean, I also love recording vocals in the studio and just the intimacy of that. And then in a movie set or a television set, you know, every single take is almost like opening night.
Yeah.
Because it has to be great, you know. And then because if you do a crappy take, then that ends up in the can, and then that ends up in the thing, and so you have to be careful that every moment that you are on screen is really, you know, is really real and true, yeah. and you're putting all your chips into that moment. So all of the genres have a beauty about them, and I welcome and I love them all. You know, I was talking to Judi Dench.
Wow, oh, my gosh.
When I was a student, actually, I was an acting student, and I sneaked into the opening night party of The Lion King in London, right? And Elton John was there, and, you know, and Judi Dench was there sitting with her husband. He was still alive, but he passed since. And I, you know, of course, I'm this child, and I got drunk on one glass of wine, and I went up to her because I was drunk, and I went up to her, and I was like, Judy, I'm so sorry, I just have to say that I love you so much. And then she kind of like looked at me, and she started talking to me,
wow.
the drunk student. And I asked her, I said, Judy, what is your favorite? Because you've done everything. You've done theater, you've done film, you've done television. Like, what do you prefer, you know? And she looked at me, and she went, I can't choose. It's all amazing, and they're all different. They're all like my children, you know? And you can't really choose. And that's from that, I got so much validation, because I've always been questioned, you know, that I had to decide, you know, you have to be one thing. You have to be either a dancer, or you have to be a singer, or you have to be an actor, and you have to just, and I always said, no, that's not who I am. You know, I do feel comfortable in multiple mediums. So it's true, like there is no real choice, because there's joy in everything, and there's a specific quality of every one of those genres that's so awesome to experience.
Absolutely, and you can experience it, ladies and gentlemen, live in person with Juan Pablo in this wonderful Lithgow Family Panto production, The Wonderful Winter of Oz, at the Pasadena Auditorium. And for tickets... You simply go to Ticketmaster.com. Performances continue through December 30th. So make sure that you get on this right away so that you will be able to take your family and or children to the theater. And if you're lucky, you might just catch Juan Pablo leaving the theater at the end of the show if you go around to the back of the theater. I don't know about that, but it's possible. Anything's possible. Just have a glass of wine before you do it.
That's right. And okay. Then you can tell him how you feel about him, as he did for Dame Junie Dinch there. So I think one of the things that we're talking about here today is getting kids out, getting kids up off the couch to go see theater. It's been a theme of our show, and this panto is a great, great way to do that. So Juan Pablo, thank you so much for doing this show, but more than that, thank you for coming to talk to us about it. It sounds like a great thing.
Absolutely.
Now we
thank
do a little
you so much, guys. It's such a pleasure.
Here's one thing that we want to do. We want to ask you one last question, and we also want to tell you that we would love to have you come back to this program,
no
but
doubt.
Join us in studio. Do you live in Los Angeles?
I would love to. Yes, I do. I do. I would love to.
Great.
I
mean, no excuses.
You're
then.
Catching me in the middle of. In the middle of a recording session for my new album. So,
all right.
So I'm literally outside the door, and then I go back in and
no
lay
problem.
Some vocals today. But absolutely, I would love to.
Well, we'd love to have you in the studio
Let's
sometime.
Do it.
We also do a little bit called Embarrassing Moments, which is where we ask established performers like yourself to talk a little bit about something that happened in their career, either in stage or film, that was embarrassing, that you thought you might not get through it, but it turns out you did, to kind of show us that the show must go on and things happen all the time and we get through them. Do you have anything like that that comes to mind?
Well, I have one, but it's a little disgusting.
That's okay.
You want to hear it?
Definitely.
We do.
All right, so I was touring with Saturday Night Fever. I'm playing Tony Manero. And, you know, this is in Spain. We toured all of Spain. And there was this one particular week that I was having a not-so-good stomach. And, in fact, I had, you know, I had very serious diarrhea problem. And this is a show where you're dancing your socks off, and it's like, you go from a dance number to a song to a very emotional acting piece to another song to another dance number. So I'm doing the first act, and I'm wearing, of course, the all-white suit that Tony wears. And I'm just, like, doing half of the choreography because I'm going, if I go any lower on the ground, there's going to be an accident.
So
the poor audiences, like, as soon as the curtain went down on the first act, I literally was just running to the bathroom, and I had to tell my understudy to finish the show. So the audience got a different Tony Manero second.
Man. Oh my goodness. Oh, wow. Well, that certainly counts
so
as
I apologize
an embarrassing
for
moment.
People.
No, not even the most disgusting or embarrassing one we've had on the show. You're right on par. That was brilliant. Thank
yeah.
you. And more than that, what an amazing thing that you tried to go on even for that first half feeling that way. It shows the dedication that performers have and that we push through some of those things. That's pretty impressive. And on a tour, nonetheless, too. My goodness.
Yes. All right. Well, listen, thank you for spending the time that you've spent with us so far. We'll let you go back that studio to continue your recording. And again, we're going to hold you to that promise, coming back to see us live in person and to promote something else that you're doing, sir.
Thank you so much. And break legs on the panto. We'll see you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, Juan Pablo.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, wow. What a
gentleman.
Talent.
Well,
and
yes.
Not only that, but he's a very open performer. You can tell that he's the kind of person who gives everything that he has to every single role. And when I was finding clips on him last night, if you haven't Googled him, you certainly can. It's interesting to watch how much theater he's done all across the world. He's traveled. Maybe the only people who could compete with him are our good friends at Princess Cruises, because the man has been everywhere on tours, and certainly
too bad he's not good looking, though, isn't it?
Good looking, good singer, good dancer. I don't like him already, I gotta tell you.
He is the total package, man.
Hopefully, he'll come back on and talk to us about the album he's in studio doing right now. And speaking of Princess Cruises, real quick, we should go ahead and finish thanking them, which we got interrupted from.
Yes, we should.
No doubt about it. Obviously, the people at Princess are dedicated to the live and performing arts and are as good as it gets when it comes to what they do as well.
And we'd like to thank them very, very much for presenting, being our presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new. providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third-largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month from September to August. One lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. So make sure to enter every month for your chance to win. Now you can do that by coming to the latalkradio.com site on the net and punching up our page, State of the Arts, Channel 2, and you will see the logo for Princess Cruises. You click on that, and that takes you into a very brief registration process, and you can do that as many times as you like.
That's right.
But do it, because you may find yourself on some very, very luxurious cruise to a destination that you've never been to before.
That's right. Obviously, a great prize, and the great people at Princess are so dedicated to the live performance.
A $5,000 gift this is, Andrew, right?
That's amazing. And no better way to see the world than on a Princess cruise ship.
Absolutely.
And as always, we'd like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
Yes, we are.
Wow.
So,
lots of good stuff going on today.
Yeah.
Man, Eric Bergen was awesome.
He is awesome.
People get a chance, obviously, you go see him at the Catalina Bar and Grill. Eric Bergen, an early New Year's celebration. The easiest way to get tickets is www.ticketweb.com.
That's December 28th and December 29th.
That's right.
Of course, the Lithgow family production of the wonderful Winter of Oz at the Pasadena Auditorium now through December 30th. And for tickets for that run, you go to Ticketmaster.com.
And obviously, you can go to American Panto as well to check them out. And wonderful Wizard of Oz. That's just American Panto, PANTO.com. And it'll give you a link right to Ticketmaster, which is a good thing.
Absolutely.
So we certainly hope that everybody out there has a safe and happy holidays. Again, we want to give good thank yous to Marie, and congratulations on her great performance.
Marie Zimmerell.
And all our amazing listeners who have chimed in this year to talk to us and to tell us all these great stories about their performing arts careers and the things they're doing and the great shows they've seen. We want to say a big thank you to all of our listeners here at State of the Art and a very happy year end.
Yes. Thank you, folks.
Huge thank yous to Eric and Juan Pablo for joining us today.
Absolutely. And thank you to you, Andrew, for being the coolest guy I know.
Not true, but I'll take it. I'll take it. Michael, I've honestly enjoyed sitting across from you again this year. What a pleasure it's been. Where will I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.